ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय अमं लोचनेषु शरीरणं उन्मेषनानिमेषेभ्यं लक्षितोऽध्यात्मसंस्थिता.
The demigod said, "Let Maharaj Nimi live without a material body. Let him live in a spiritual body as a personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and according to his desire, let him be manifest or unmanifest to commonly materially embodied people." Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The demigods wanted Maharaj Nimi to come to life. But Maharaj Nimi did not want to accept another material body. Under the circumstances, the demigods, having been requested by the saintly persons, gave him the benediction that he would be able to stay in his spiritual body. There are two kinds of spiritual bodies, as generally understood by common men. The term spiritual body is sometimes taken to refer to a ghostly body. An impious man who dies after sinful activities is sometimes condemned so that he cannot possess a gross material body of five elements, but must live in a subtle body of mind, intelligence, and ego. However, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, devotees can give up the material body and attain a spiritual body free from all material tinges, gross and subtle. Kyatva deham bunarajanma naiti mam eti sorajuna. Thus the demigods gave Maharaj Nimi the benediction that he would be able to stay in a purely spiritual body, free from all gross and subtle material contamination. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can be seen or unseen according to his own transcendental desire. Similarly, a devotee, being Jivana Mukta, can be seen or not as he chooses. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samabrata. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is not manifest to everyone and anyone. To the common man, he is unseen. Atha Sri Krishna Namadi Na Bhaved Grayam Indriyai. Krishna and his name, fame, qualities, and paraphernalia cannot be materially understood. Unless one is advanced in spiritual life, Sevan Mukhehi Jivado, one cannot see Krishna. Therefore, the ability to see Krishna depends on Krishna's mercy. The same privilege of being seen or unseen according to one's own desire was given to Maharaj Nimi. Thus, he lived in his original spiritual body as an associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation: The demigod said, "Let Maharaj Nimi live without a material body. Let him live in a spiritual body as a personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and according to his desire, let him be manifest or unmanifest to common materially embodied people." We see herein the supernatural power of the demigods. There are 33 million demigods. Each has the allocated responsibility given by Lord Brahma to take care, supervise the various functions of the universal affairs within the universe. Lord Brahma is directly the empowered representative of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, his own father. Lord Brahma is sometimes known as Atmabhu, which means he has no mother, but he was born directly from the lotus flower springing from the navel of Lord Narayan. And at the time of creation, the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma, after performing tapasya on the order of Lord Hari, was empowered with all the necessary shakti for the purpose of creating all the planets and all living beings within the planets of this universe. It is very important because from the very beginning of creation to the end, no one can truly be empowered to do the work of God unless one is willing to perform tapasya. Lord Brahma heard these two syllables, tapa, and he understood that everything would be revealed to him in due course of time if he simply were to perform tapasya. Lord Rishabhdev has explained, tapo divyam putrika yena satvam sudhyajisyam brahma sokyam tvanam tam, that this human form of life is meant for self-realization, and the process of self-realization is to perform tapasya. It is described by Lord Kapiladev that without performing tapasya, no spiritual gain is really acquired. Because in order to make spiritual advancement, we must be empowered by Krishna. Because in this material world, the illusory energy is compared like a great ocean. Cannot cross it. We are all drowning in this ocean. It is only by the grace, or factually by the empowerment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that we can make any advancement on the path of bhakti or on the path of liberation. Therefore, Krishna consciousness simply means to behave in such a way that we attract the empowerment of Krishna. Raga dvesha vimuktaishtu vishayanindriyaischaran atma vishaya vidhayatma prasadamarigachchati. If a devotee is thinking that I have certain qualifications which are very conducive to spiritual advancement, he is in great illusion. Because the only qualification we have for any spiritual advancement is that Krishna personally intervenes between us and the illusory energy and rescues us. The only possibility of making spiritual advancement is the causeless mercy of Lord Hari. Therefore, what do we have to be proud of in spiritual life? Whatever advancement we have made is by the causeless mercy of Krishna, which is coming through the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. It's not based on what we've done or what we've not done. But tapasya is the expression of the conditioned soul to God that we are depending on His mercy, and His mercy is all that we are made out of, and we want that mercy more than anything else in life, and we're willing to give up so much for that alone. It is said, first deserve and then desire. If we actually want spiritual advancement, we have to be willing to perform tapasya. to attract the attention of Krishna, to show him that we are serious, to show him that we are depending on his causeless mercy. So Lord Brahma was empowered to create all the planets within this universe. Lord Brahma factually is a jivatma in most cases. That means constitutionally he is like you or me. What makes Lord Brahma different than you and me? Lord Brahma creates all planets. Huh? Not only the earth is a tiny planet, but all the heavenly planets, Indra Loka, Siddha Loka, the sun planet, Surya Loka, all the hellish planets, all the oceans, all the rivers, not only that, but all species of life in every planet. He creates all of it. It doesn't take him years. He doesn't have structural engineers, architects, doesn't have to pay anyone, doesn't have to go out and raise funds to build the universe. He just does it. How does he do it? Because Krishna has empowered him to do it. And the fact is, he's a jivatma. Constitutionally, he's absolutely no different than you or me. So why is he so wonderfully glorious and efficient in creating such magnificent creation? Because he performed tapasya. And that tapasya attracted the supreme power of God. His tapasya was not what built the universe. His tapasya simply showed Krishna that he wanted to be an instrument in his hands. He was willing to give up everything else just to show Krishna, I am yours. And then Krishna did everything. And the fact is, Krishna can empower any one of his jivatmas, any soul, in the same way. Therefore, a devotee, he is very fortunate. Especially when he doesn't have the means to do what he wants to do for Krishna. Then he has to simply depend on the mercy of God. And then he can see, factually, Krishna working through him. Otherwise, we think we're the doers, and that is a great illusion. Then whatever our project is, it will have no spiritual potency. But when it's very impossible, and all odds are against us, and we're willing to perform austerity, tapasya, that means to do whatever is required to please the Guru and Krishna in this regard. Now we have to learn what tapasya is from our spiritual master. So here we find Lord Brahma, after creating the universe, he gave birth to all the demigods. And these demigods, either directly or indirectly, he has given birth. He gave birth to the great Prajapati Kashyapa, to his wife Aditi, and from them most all of the demigods were born. And then Lord Narayan, through Lord Brahma, is empowering each and every one of the demigods with a miraculous, miraculous power. And each one of us, we are completely dependent on the gifts of the demigods. We cannot survive. If any one of those 33 million demigods were to withdraw their gifts, we would die. The air, the water, the sun, even the blinking of our eyes. It is all supervised under the control of various higher powers. But Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that all the higher powers of all the great demigods, they are all generating from his mercy alone. Therefore, if you worship Krishna, you automatically fulfill your obligations to all living beings.
Devarshi bhutapti nirnam pitranam nakinkaram nayanam nicharajan sarvatmanaya sharanam sharanyam gatomukandam parihitya karatam.
That one who surrenders to the lotus feet of Mukunda, he has no more any obligations. He has no obligations to any of the devatas. He has no more obligations to his mother or father. He has no more obligation to the king or the state, to his teachers, to anyone. Because all the facilities that all these persons who we have been depending on for so long, they are all coming from Krishna. If you water the root of the tree, automatically every part of the tree is nourished. And the great demigods, they know this. Therefore, the demigods are speaking in this verse that let Maharaj Nimi live without a material body. You see, the material body is completely depending on the grace of the demigods to survive at every moment. They are factually in complete control in our unified effort of this material existence. Materially, they have total control over your physical body. Huh? But here they are saying, let him be without a material body. Let him live in a spiritual body as a personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And according to his desire, let him be manifest or unmanifest to commonly materially embodied people. In other words, what the demigods are saying, because he has surrendered to Krishna, Maharaj Nimi, he is beyond us. He has no more any obligation to us. He has no more responsibility to us. And we're very, very happy because he is the divine servant of our divine master. He is no longer depending. He has no longer any use for us. All the mundane wranglers in this world, they are depending on us for the material benefits. But he's not attached to the material body. He's not attached to any material benefits. So he doesn't need us anymore. All he needs is Krishna. He's Krishna's man. He's a Vaikuntha man. Let him be in his original spiritual body, beyond the modes of material nature, beyond the forces of this material creation. The fact is that one who surrenders to Krishna, even the demigods bow their heads at the feet of such a person. Because one who surrenders to Krishna has fulfilled the supreme obligation of life. This Krishna consciousness movement is a movement which is specifically and exclusively teaching how to surrender to Krishna, how to become a pure devotee of Krishna, how to receive the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy anyone and everyone can easily become transported to Goloka Vrindavan through the chanting of the holy name. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said that the demigods stand in line to take birth in this movement. Why? Because they are empowered to do their material affairs, but they all know that the supreme perfection of life is to go beyond them, go beyond their jurisdiction, and to be free, liberated in the mercy of Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving this supreme benediction of Krishna's mercy to everyone freely, everywhere. Therefore, even the demigods, they are anxious to receive the mercy of the Lord. They are anxious to receive the mercy of the pure devotees. Indra, he is the king of heaven. He has such elegant proprietorship over such a magnificent abode, Indraloka. But yet Narada Muni, who owns nothing, he travels around homelessly,
with a little veena. He wears the simple robes of an ascetic. When he comes to Indraloka, Indra bows his head and surrenders unto his lotus feet. Why is that? Because even the great, great demigods know that the sadhus, the devotees of Krishna, they have the supreme wealth. They have the supreme power. Because they have Krishna. Therefore, we live for Krishna. In the spirit of Maharaj Nimi, we are not concerned with this material body. We'll use it as long as Krishna wants us to use it. We'll try to keep it fit as much as we can, but we are not attached. We are only attached to one thing, to Krishna. We are only attached to his service. And we know that our service to Krishna is not dependent on anything material. It is only dependent on our desire to serve. And that desire is fulfilled by the mercy of the spiritual master. Because he gives us the instruction which will fulfill all of our desires. The spiritual master, the Vaishnava, is like a desire tree. It does not say that the demigods are like desire trees. The demigods can fulfill all your material desires, no doubt. If you perform the proper tapasya for the demigods, all your material desires will be fulfilled. But a Vaishnav is a desire tree because they could fulfill all your desires. And the soul has no material desires. The soul only desires Krishna. And the great Vaishnavas, they can fulfill that deepest, most profound desire in our life, the desire for transcendental happiness, for the ecstasy of loving service to the Lord, the only real desire of the heart. And how do they fulfill that desire? By giving you the way and the means to reach Krishna through their instructions, through their words. The divine grace of Krishna comes through the spiritual master in the form of his instructions. The blessing of the Gurudev is in his teachings. And when we accept those teachings and follow them, then we are directly connected to the divine mercy of Sri Hari. And all of our desires will be fulfilled. He is teaching us how to always keep our consciousness with Krishna by chanting his holy name, by worshipping the deity, by taking Krishna prasad. He is teaching us how to associate with devotees. Simply to associate with devotees is not enough. The great Vaishnavas teach us how to associate with devotees, how to worship the deities, how to chant the holy name. None of these processes are mechanical. You don't need a guru if all you have to do is just chant Hare Krishna. The guru teaches you how to chant Hare Krishna. Otherwise, the mantra has very little power. The worship of the deity, any child could come in and start doing things for the deities. He's not going to make too much advancement. The spiritual master teaches us how to worship the deities. Associating with devotees. We read about the great, great benefits of association with sadhus. But the real benefit comes when we hear from the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas how to associate with the sadhus, how to honor Krishna prasad, how to engage in devotional service. There are 9 processes of devotional service, but we must have the great Vaishnavas to teach us how to perform these 9 processes. That is his divine grace. Because in the process, he teaches us how we can always keep our consciousness with Krishna and thus become purified. And the fulfillment of all our desires is Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he prayed, O Gurudev, Because you are giving me Krishna, I am simply running behind you like a dog calling out Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And for such a great soul, even the demigods, Prabhupada said, with folded hands, they offer their respectful obeisances. Yes, this person has become a devotee. They may test you, but those tests are meant to make you better. Those tests are meant to cause you to cling faster to the words of the spiritual master and faster to the lotus feet of the holy name. So here, wonderful sloka, the great, great universal supervisors of the universe, the powerful demigods, they are all with folded hands congratulating and benedicting Maharaj Nimi that he is beyond us. He has surrendered to Krishna. Let us all surrender to Krishna. Then we become transcendental to Adi Atmaka, Adi Daivaka, and Adi Bhautaka, the miseries of material existence. Mahatmanastu mam parata daivim prakritim ashrita. The great Mahatmas who surrender to Krishna, they are no longer under the influence of material energy, but they are intimately embraced on all sides, at all times, by the personal spiritual energy of Sri Krishna. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? Yes? She had complete control of her mind and senses. Devahuti was a great soul. She had complete control of her mind and senses. She was a pure bhakta. Otherwise, why would Kapila Dev take birth as her son? He doesn't appear to an ordinary person. He only appears within the wombs of his pure devotees. Huh? But you see, Devahuti, being a pure devotee, is expressing the humility which is the natural condition of the heart of a pure devotee. A pure devotee is always thinking like this. Read the songs of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Read the songs of Narottam Das Thakur. They're all praying how they're being engulfed by the flames of material existence, how they're victims of lust and pride and envy. They feel like that. That's why they're always taking shelter completely of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They have none of those characteristics, but they're so humble that they think they do. They think themselves ordinary. Srila Prabhupada would so many times just say, I am just an ordinary man. I'm just repeating the words of my spiritual master. The great souls never think themselves great souls. They think themselves more ordinary than the ordinary. It is because of that humility that they are always clasping on to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. It is because of this that Krishna is always revealing himself to them. Hmm? She was speaking for our benefit, to teach us, unless we're willing to just honestly admit our own fallen condition, we could never receive the mercy of the Lord. So on one level, she was speaking to show us how all of us should approach Krishna and the Guru. But on a higher level, she's really and truly expressing the humility of her own heart. She's prideless. If she were to say, I have complete control of my mind, I have complete control of my senses, I have mastered all the mystic cities, I have mastered and conquered all the demigods and all their influences and all their tests, please instruct me. Huh? What kind of a way is that to appeal to the spiritual master or Krishna? That would be false pride. The fact is that she already did accomplish those things by the grace of Krishna. She recognizes that the grace of Krishna is her only hope, her only power in life. As far as myself, I have no control over my mind. I have no control of my senses. Even if you're a pure devotee, factually you don't. The only power and control you have is Krishna's mercy. Right? A pure devotee never says, I can control my mind and senses. That's pride. He's finished. He's fallen. A pure devotee says, I have no control over my mind and senses, but by the mercy of Krishna, he can control it. That is bhakti. Right? As long as you think you have control, you won't hand it over to Krishna. Even in the most perfectly liberated state, you never think you have control. You're always thinking, I have no control. I have no power over Maya. Only Krishna can save me. And because you're always thinking like this, Krishna is always saving you. As soon as you think, yes, how wonderful, I have done it. And Krishna will not save you anymore. And then you're cast back into the abyss of Maya's abode. Huh? So Devahuti was totally free from material energy. Why? Because she's always thinking like this. That I'm completely depending on you, Lord Kapila Dev. I can do nothing on my own. I'm just your helpless child. Huh? She's speaking the words of a great soul. She's teaching us how to become a great soul. Yes? Tene Brahma Hridaya Ada Kavye Muyanti Yat Surya. Brahma's guru was Garbo Dakshayi Vishnu. Vishnu personally instructed him to perform tapasya. Vishnu personally gave him all the instructions required to perform his devotional service. Brahma is directly the disciple of Lord Krishna. Therefore, he is the first acharya in our disciplic line. Krishna instructed Brahma. And then Brahma instructed his son Narada, who instructed Vedavyas, Madhva, down to the present acharyas. That means Krishna from within his heart spoke transcendental knowledge, which gave him all enlightenment and empowerment. But the words tapa came also from Krishna. There was no one else existing except him and Krishna. Krishna told him, tapa, perform tapasya. He performed tapasya, then Krishna from within the heart revealed everything. Any other questions? Yes.
All the demigods are very different. They are also living in the better to surrender to Krishna so that they have some sense of
You know it too, right? Why don't you just surrender everything? Why? Everyone in this room knows it. But why aren't we all totally surrendered? We know it, but we still have attachments to the material senses and their objects. That is the position of the demigods. They know full and well that the goal of life is to surrender everything to Krishna, but they still have attachment to their mother and their father and their homes and their prestige and everything else. They're in the same position as us. They're just in bigger proportion. Huh? The only difference is they enjoy a lot more than us, so they have more to be attached to. We're more fortunate in the sense that this world is pretty miserable. So there's more impetus to just give up all these crazy attachments. It's easy to see how these attachments just are nothing but sorrow at surrender. The demigods know it intellectually, and they want to do it. They really, really want to do it, but not enough, because the pleasures there are so wonderful. Until the time of death, which is after so many billions of years, you don't even see any of the miseries. Everything seems, all your attachments seem to be quite nice. It was very difficult to give it up. That one who is too much attached to sense enjoyment, the resolute determination for devotional service cannot take place. Prahlad Maharaj said, Mathir, what is that verse? We read it the other day, that whatever endeavors you make for spiritual life, either by yourself and the association of others, as long as you don't give up the attachment for material sense gratification, it's like an anchor that keeps you bound. So I'm saying the same reason why you know everything but you're not surrendering is why they aren't. They still have material attachments. They still want to enjoy. Professor Dev Amrit, now it is your turn.